And so we do have an opportunity, as was already mentioned, to remember the Lord in the Lord's Supper. And also, as we're thinking about Thanksgiving, we do have a message today that by God's grace will motivate us to pour out our hearts in thanksgiving to God for His mercy upon our lost souls. Yes, God was gracious to us. God was merciful to us, and He brought to us salvation. And as already has been mentioned, thank you, sister, for that testimony. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ today, this is your opportunity to ask Jesus to have received forgiveness of sins and to repent of your sins and to make a change in your life and to follow Him. Well, I invite you to take your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, most of it, but we will start a little bit in Romans chapter 11. And what we want to talk about this morning is indeed the mercies of God. Through the years, as I've had opportunity to minister and to pastor and to preach messages, when I came and had opportunity to preach Romans 12, my title used to be The Dedicated Life. And I would start with that theme and develop the message concerning the dedicated life. Now, that is obviously involved here. But the Apostle Paul does not start with the dedicated life. The Apostle Paul, when he deals with this subject and this issue, there Romans 12, where he's going to encourage his believers to dedicate their lives to God, he's going to start with the reason why they should dedicate their lives to God. And that is because God has poured His mercy out upon them and out upon you. If you look at Romans chapter 11, just the very last few verses, the Apostle Paul is thinking about God's mercy. And the Apostle Paul is amazed. Do you remember the hymn, "I stand all amazed at the presence of Jesus, the Nazarene"? If you look at Romans chapter 11 and verse 33, this is what the Apostle Paul says. "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became His counselor, or who has first given to Him that it might be paid back to Him again? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen." The Apostle Paul is amazed at God's mercy. And the Apostle Paul talks about the grandeur of God, His gloriousness, His character, His riches, His wisdom, His knowledge. How can you search His judgments? How unfathomable His ways? Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has become His counselor? Even down in verse 32, "For God has shut up all in disobedience so that He may show mercy to all." Our God is a God of mercy. And so the Apostle Paul is so amazed at the greatness and the grandeur and the glory of God's mercy. And because His mercy is so great, the Apostle Paul does glorify God for His mercy. It's there again in verse 36. "For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen." I appreciate in the very beginning of your bulletin, it says, "For His glory." That's why we're here, is it not? To glorify God for His mercy. So we want to study today this theme about the mercy of God. Let us ask God for His blessing upon His word and help as we study. Lord, we thank You so much for Your love for us. We thank You so much, Father, of how You have planned out this wonderful design of salvation. Even before the worlds were framed, Your Son is the Lamb of God. This was not a second plan. This was Your plan. Oh, Father, we thank You so much for having mercy upon us, for having pity upon our lost souls. We who ran away from You, who hated You, who despised You, You have taken us. And like the prodigal son, You have given us the robe and the ring and all the blessings of your house, and you have given to us salvation. We thank you for your great mercy. Father, by your grace, as we study your mercy here in Romans chapter 12, we pray that we would be renewed and we would be touched again to dedicate our lives to you again with new energy and thankfulness as we serve you through our gifts and abilities for your glory, we pray. Help us now, Father, as we study your word. Open our eyes that we may see wonderful things out of your word. And we thank you for what you will do. We will praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the Apostle Paul is not only amazed because of God's mercy, the Apostle Paul here in Romans chapter 12 will begin to appeal to his readers because of God's mercy. Look at Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 1, please. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. The Apostle Paul is appealing to them. Now, Paul the Apostle is an apostle, and he had every right in the world to come down hard upon his readers. He could have said, "You Romans, what's wrong with you? Get yourself in order. Don't you know you should be dedicating your life to God?" But the Apostle Paul takes another way of approaching the subject. He, as an apostle with all the authority to command them, is gentle with them. And he wants to help them realize that they should dedicate their lives to God because of all that God has done for them. And so he uses this word in my Bible. It's the third word of verse 1. Therefore, I urge you. Paul is urging them to dedicate their lives to God because of God's mercies. Paul is saying, "I plead, I urge, I come alongside of you, I beg you, I appeal to you. Isn't God's mercy great and glorious? The grandeur of his pity upon us. Oh, because of all that God has done for you, don't you want to dedicate your life to God?" You see, in this very epistle, the Apostle Paul, for the first 11 chapters, has just laid out before his readers where they were. Oh, one strategy of witnessing to someone has been mentioned like this: get them lost so that they can be found. What's that mean? Well, we're all lost, but you have to help sinners realize that they are lost, because a lot of sinners think that they're good to go, meaning they think they're good enough to go to heaven. And that is totally contrary to the truth. And the Apostle Paul, through 11 chapters, has laid out before the Romans of where they were without God. Oh, he has told them there is none righteous, not even one. He has told them their throat is an open grave. He has said to them, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is no one righteous, no not one. Our mouths are like open graves. There's a stench within us." That's where God found us. That's from where God has saved us. I remember hearing a preacher use this true story about his own life. And he tells a story like this. He says that he was praying to God, "God, I just want to see who I am without you. Without you, God, what do I look like?" And so he continues the story. He says that one day he was walking along, perhaps in his yard, and he saw an animal. The animal was moving, but it was dead. As he inspected what was going on, he realized that it was a rabbit, and I'll try to say this gently, but it was a rabbit, it was dead, but because of all the maggots in the rabbit's body was actually moving. And God spoke to him, "That's it. That's what you look like without me." Oh, you see, without God, there's just death, stench, maggots. We were far, far away from God, dead, lost in our sins. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 2, please, you will notice that Paul also talks about this theme. And Paul often refers to this theme because he's helping his readers understand from where they came and how grateful we need to be because of God's mercy upon us. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, Paul writing to a different congregation, but the same theme. Ephesians chapter 2, and starting with verse 1, he says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Oh, how do we get from the place of being dead in our trespasses to being alive together with Christ? How did that happen? It was God's mercy. Did you know that on this earth or in this universe, there's only one safe place to be? There's only one safe place to be in all the universe, and that is to be in Christ Jesus. Think of Noah and the ark. Where was the only one safe place to be on the earth when God's judgment and wrath was poured upon the earth? The only safe place to be was in that ark. And when in that ark, the ark rose above the wrath of God, the only safe place to be is in Christ Jesus, to rise above the wrath of God, to realize his grace and his mercy upon us. Oh, Paul is appealing to the Romans to dedicate their lives to God because of his mercy. As I mentioned, he took the first 11 chapters to show the grave condition of his readers. And he was saying to them, look, despite the fact that you were under God's wrath, God saved you. You are now in Christ Jesus. Now Paul says, I appeal to you because of God's mercies. Don't you want to dedicate your life in sacrificial service to him because of all of his mercies to you? That's exactly what the Apostle Paul was saying. And this is nothing new. This echoes from the Old Testament. In Psalm 86:5, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon them." Lamentations 3:22-23, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Well, listen, because of God's mercies, we are not being consumed in God's fury, but rather we're being cared for in God's family. Oh, how great is God's mercy toward us. Paul says in Titus chapter 3, "But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Oh, God in his mercy has transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Hallelujah. And Hebrews continues the theme. "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." When's your time of need? Oh, listen, I think the song readers help us day by day with each passing moment by moment. Listen, as we become babes in Christ, as we are newly born and coming to know Jesus, we may have that feeling that we always need Jesus, but something happens, unfortunately. We kind of get accustomed to the Christian life, and then God has to reteach us. Oh, it's not just every Sunday you need me. It's not just that once a year crisis that comes and goes. Oh, but God is teaching us we need him every second of our lives. We need his mercy. We draw to him with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may continue to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We need to constantly be reminded of the mercies of God. But listen, if reminding ourselves of the mercies of God is so important, how does that take place? And quickly, we've listed some there in your notes. First of all, we have it right here, the Supper of the Lord. Oh, listen, once a month, we stop everything. We stop everything. Nothing else is more important. We take these 10 to 15 minutes and we focus in on the fact that Jesus was merciful to us as sinners against him. We remind ourselves of the mercy of God by a planned service once a month just to remember the greatness of God's mercies and thank our Lord Jesus Christ for dying and for rising again. We also did it today by singing. I will sing of the mercy of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. Listen, may I encourage you to at least make the bulk, the greater percentage of your music choices that you listen to, may I just gently encourage you to at least make the major bulk of your choices of music to be Christian music? Oh, listen, how many times have maybe we've had wrong thoughts, wrong motives? Perhaps we were planning on sinning. Perhaps we were very sad. And we heard just that song at the right moment. Listen, we have so much access to music. We have streaming, we have CDs, we have the radio, on and on and on. Oh, let Christian music and the message of God's word pour over your minds so that we may be encouraged to remember God's mercies and continue to dedicate ourselves to God anew and afresh. A very simple way of remembering God's mercies is by saying thank you to God for his mercies. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, "Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Some of you may be in camping ministries, or if even you had an opportunity to go to retreats, or even travel to Lancaster, Pennsylvania years ago, the pastor that I grew up under, the ministry, his name was Pastor Eric Crichton. And I remember him saying in a message, he says simply this, "I thank the Lord every day for my salvation. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me your great salvation, so rich and so free." Oh, we also remind ourselves of God's mercies by speaking and talking to others about Jesus. When we tell others about Jesus, do you know who's hearing the plan of salvation? You are. Your ears are hearing the plan of salvation when you're witnessing somebody else. And you so long for your friend, your family member, your neighbor, your work colleague. You so desire that they become Christians. And if they do, that's great. But if they don't, when you go home, do you know what you've just heard? You've heard yourself give the plan of salvation. And you thank the Lord. Oh, Lord, I want my friend, my colleague, my neighbor, I want them to be saved. But Lord, thank you that you saved me. And when someone gets saved, just like we heard today, it's testimony time. Hearing how others got saved reminds us of God's mercies, how he saved us. Also, I believe that we need to learn to listen and take time, if we have opportunity, or maybe make the opportunity, to listen to sermons that are evangelistic. I remember one time watching an old broadcast, Billy Graham preaching. It was a black and white old message that he preached, and as only Billy Graham can explain the plan of salvation. And I was listening to this black and white message on the TV, and I was so wrapped up in the moment, I wanted to get saved all over again. And it's like, oh, wait, once saved, always saved? Okay. But I was so caught up in the moment. And as I was listening to him, it just touched my soul. And as we have been speaking about, we see the mercy of God by pouring over the scriptures. And then also by supplication. What is supplication? Well, that's praying for yourself. Should we pray for ourselves? Isn't that selfish? Well, we should pray for others, but we do need to pray for ourselves, yes? And there are times, even as Christians, when we just need to bow down before God and say, "God, I need your mercy. I sinned. I failed you. But God, I'm just asking you to forgive me of my sins." Oh, David experienced that in Psalm 51:1. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your mercies, your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." And Hebrews chapter 4 gives the answer to what David was saying, because Hebrews chapter 4 says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Even as Christians, we still have our high priest. We can confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." All of this reminds us of God's great mercy upon us. Now, there is one more I want to mention to you, and that's simply by serving God. Speaking of testimonies, listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. He says in 1 Timothy, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus." It's a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. "Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life." And again, just like at the end of Romans chapter 11, the Apostle Paul breaks out in praise. "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." You see, God doesn't save us and then say to us, "You know, you were kind of one of the more difficult ones to save, so you just need to sit over here in a divine timeout," right? Oh, no. That's what thrilled the Apostle Paul. As much as he had sinned against God, God not only saved him, but gave him an opportunity to serve him. Incredible. And as I mentioned in my prayer, is that not what happened? That God shows us through the prodigal son's father God's great mercy. The prodigal son returned in repentance, and the father gave him a robe, a ring, sandals, the fattened calf, feasting and celebration. Oh, listen, we are thrilled by God's mercies when we serve him. And if you look back again at Romans chapter 12, you will see that the Apostle Paul talks about that service. Romans chapter 12. Again, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." Oh, we need to have actions because of God's mercies. Oh, it's not only being amazed because of God's mercies, and not only having Paul appeal to us to give our lives to him because of his mercies, there needs to be action. And the action is presenting our body as a sacrifice, the presentation of our bodies to God. Now, please don't think, "Well, I give my body, but my mind is for me." That's not what Paul is saying. When you give your body, you give everything about you. When you give your body to the Lord, you give everything about you. You give your mind, your body, your spirit, your time, your talents, your spiritual gifts, and your possessions. And the Apostle Paul says that this is a living sacrifice. Well, what does that mean? Well, we are living in Christ as opposed to being dead in our sins. Remember what we just read in Ephesians? We were dead in our sins. Now we are alive. Romans chapter 6 teaches us what kind of people are we. We are out of the grave Christians. Oh, we died with Christ. We're buried with Christ. And now we are risen with Christ. Please do not think that we need to take on the attitude of Eeyore. Do you remember Eeyore? And unfortunately, some Christians can say, "Well, Lord, I'm not doing very well in my Christian life. I don't know if I can serve you, but if you want anything, I guess here I am." You see, God says, "No, don't have that attitude. Present yourselves to God as out of the grave Christians. We're risen. We're a living sacrifice. We're also living when we offer ourselves to God as a sacrifice, because after we offer ourselves as a sacrifice, we're still living. In the Old Testament, the priest would kill the animals, and what do you need the next day? You need another animal. When we offer ourselves to God, we're still living. We're a living sacrifice. But also, there's this other component. We are a living sacrifice because we are constantly and continually and moment by moment giving our lives to God as a sacrifice in obedience to Him, to serve Him, and to serve others. Paul would say it's a holy sacrifice. We're set aside for special services. We don't take our bodies to sin. We use our bodies to serve God. And it's an acceptable sacrifice. By sacrificing ourselves to God, we can and we do please God. Don't you want to please God? Don't you want to dedicate yourself to God because of all of His mercies? We adore God by giving our bodies to Him. It's a spiritual service of worship. And we are to be analytical about this. Now, some people, if you're a person that loves to analyze, you may annoy them, right? You might annoy people. You say, you're overanalyzing this. You're being too analytical. But you know what Paul is telling us in this passage? He says, I want you to be analytical. As a matter of fact, the whole tone and tenor of this is to be logical. You see, the mindset in which we are to present our bodies to God, which is our spiritual service of worship, is simply this. As a priest, we do the spiritual service of sacrificing ourselves to God in His service, and we understand that this is the only logical thing to do with our lives. That is to give everything to God for His praise, His service, His glory, and His honor. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to Your name give glory for Your mercy and for Your true sake. And then Paul says, it's not just offering your body. I want you to make some progression, Paul says. Look at verse 2. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Paul says, you're not only saved, you need to progress in becoming more and more like Jesus. You should not be conformed to the world, but you should be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you ever feel flat spiritually, or even a little rebellious, and you don't want to pray, and you don't want to read God's word, that's the exact time you need to pray and read God's word. Because reading God's word will change our mindsets, will help us understand who we are in Christ, to give our lives to Jesus and to others in sacrifice. As we dedicate ourselves to God and to one another, and as we refuse to be conformed by the world, and we are transformed by the renewal of our minds, as we study, read, memorize Scripture, we prove that God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. And people will see us becoming more like Jesus. And they will see Jesus in us, not for our glory, but for Jesus' glory. And Jesus said, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, by God's grace, we will be here in 2 weeks. There will be a part two. But just by way of conclusion, do you see where Paul goes now? After laying out all this in verses 1 and 2, look at verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. You see, so often when we think about dedicating ourselves to God, we think of the big picture, and that is true. Everything we have in our life, we should give to God. But this passage is specifically teaching us we need to sacrifice ourselves. How? By using our spiritual gifts and abilities God has given to us to serve one another and to serve God in the church. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying in this passage. Oh, yes, it's dedicating your life to God. It's sacrificing yourself to God. But specifically, it's using that spiritual gift and ability, whether it be teaching or mercy or giving or help or ministration, whatever particular spiritual gift God has given to you, that's what the Apostle Paul says. You need to spend time in that spiritual gift. You need to sacrifice things that maybe you would want to do, put that aside, serve God and others in the church using your spiritual gifts and abilities. You see, that's what life is about. Life's not about serving ourselves. It's about finding out what our spiritual gift is and then using that gift in dedicated sacrificial service to God for the good of others and for the glory of God. The emphasis is serving one another for the good of the body. The emphasis is serving one another for our growth in Christ. The emphasis is serving one another for the glory of God. And the emphasis is serving one another according to the grace towards us. In conclusion, growing up, there was two commercials. And did you ever remember the humor of the commercial, but you never remember what product they're trying to sell? Well, in these two commercials, you knew what they were selling. Because the one commercial said, nothing tastes better than when it sits on a Ritz cracker. The other commercial says, everything's better with Blue Bonnet on it. And so I thought, I got it. I got the perfect snack. Blue Bonnet margarine on a Ritz cracker, right? Because if nothing tastes better than when it sits on a Ritz and everything's better Blue Bonnet on it, these must meld together to work great to be the perfect snack. Do you know that's what Jesus is doing for us? He's giving us the wonderful ability to work together, to bring all of our spiritual gifts. He's gifted us all in a little different way spiritually. But as we sacrifice ourselves, give ourselves to one another, to God, in spiritual service, it's going to be better than a Ritz cracker with Blue Bonnet on it. Oh, it's going to be the edification of the church. We're going to have gladness. We're going to be good to our brothers and sisters for their good. And all of this will glorify God, the God of mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't you want to dedicate your life to God because of all of his mercies to you? Father, we pray that by your grace, that we would take Paul's message to heart, that we would dedicate ourselves to you anew and afresh because of your great mercies. And then, Father, we pray that we would realize that it's not just only a general dedication to you, but it's a very specific dedication, that we would sacrifice our time, that we would even sacrifice our money and perhaps things that we would want to do, but we would give our time and our gifts and our abilities to other believers. We would sacrifice ourselves in those areas of ministry that you have gifted us in. We would serve you accordingly for the good of others, for the salvation of souls, and for your glory, we pray. Thank you for your mercy through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen.